Welcome to Reboot with Dr. Arasi Marin, where we challenge medical dogma and uncover the truth behind the headlines. I am Dr. Anbukka Arasi Marin, interventional cardiologist and your host. Today's episode might be one of the most important conversations about women's health in the past two decades. Dr. Sindhu Koshi is a board-certified cardiologist dedicated to provide comprehensive, compassionate cardiovascular care. She has earned her honors of Bachelor of Science from University of Toronto and is a Doctor of Medicine from Sabah University School of Medicine. She then completed her clinical residency and fellowship at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, where she developed advanced expertise in cardiac care. She then moved to Michigan in 2011, and since then, she has been proudly serving the Detroit community, combining clinical excellence with a patient-centric approach. She is board certified in echocardiography, nuclear medicine, and practice focuses mainly on prevention, diagnosis, and treatment of heart disease of patients in different backgrounds. And then, despite all these board certifications, she thought she hasn't done enough with her life. She chooses to do Menopause Society certification and becomes a Menopause Society certified practitioner. This tells you how passionate she is about women's cardiovascular health and how much she is committed to understand what happens in the women's heart through puberty, through perimenopause, through menopause, and all the unique challenges women face during these transitions. She has a very patient-centric, evidence-based approach. And today, I hope we will blow off the lid of one of the biggest medical scandals of our times, how a flawed study from 2002 scared millions of women away from a life-saving hormone therapy, and how the medical establishment is finally taking accountability on what they have got catastrophically wrong. So with that, Dr. Koshi, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for joining me today with Reboot with Dr. Arasi Marin.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
So tell me, from your perspective, as a cardiologist with so many board certifications, what made you choose or go back into education and get the menopause certification? What happened?
So I will say that, you know, throughout training, we saw mostly men. That is what we were trained. You know, men, we knew the symptoms that men had with cardiac disease, and women were always considered atypical or they have different symptoms. And we talked about it a little bit. As I kind of got into my career, I started noticing, and, you know, and I say it's all relative. I started to say, the women that I'm seeing that are having cardiac diseases, whether it's palpitations, heart failure, heart attacks, they're young. Like their 40s and 50s and 60s, we were kind of taught, like, don't worry about a woman until she's above 65. Before that, it is unlikely that she's going to have cardiac disease. I see women mostly, unfortunately, but usually they're well in their 20s and 30s when they're pregnant, because they come in for pregnancy-related cardiac issues. And thankfully, most of them are not an issue. And then all of a sudden, women were also showing up, the same women sometimes, in their 40s and 50s. And as I kept going, we kept saying, well, these women are fine. They're healthy. They're fine. But we were seeing heart attacks and, you know, SCAD, spontaneous coronary artery dissection, heart failure, AFib. And I was like, this is such a weird time. And they're all that age, between 40 and 60. It is not 65 and above. And so I kept thinking, well, there must be something else going on. And I kept thinking, boy, this is all so hormonally related. Like, every woman was going through perimenopause or menopause. Their periods were changing, or they just hit menopause. And then there became this, well, I'm having hot flashes and night sweats, but my doctor says I can't be on hormone therapy because I have coronary disease, or because I have coronary calcification, my cholesterol's high, my family history. And I thought, there's something, we're just not treating women appropriately here, because that is really an unfair statement where, you know, we have cardiac risk and it occurs during this change in our hormones, and we can't treat them with hormones. Mm-hmm. So I decided to do menopause certification at that time. My gynecology friend who did hers for a gynecological, she was like, she would send me patients. She's like, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, I don't know either. So I did the certification just so that I felt that I was treating a lot of women. And that's where my passion lies, And I needed to be an expert in what I was saying. And frankly, I'm going to hit there one time or another anyways, and I need to know what I need to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, I'm so glad you talked about women in their 40s to 60s, because it's not just menopause, right? Perimenopause is truly another, it's almost a decade of perimenopause most women go through. And we truly ignore it now, even as a physician, probably in a perimenopause. I don't know much about perimenopause. We kind of try to flirt around it and not actually focus on perimenopause. So can you talk about what happens to a female body from the hormone standpoint, and how does it affect the cardiac health of a female in perimenopause?
So perimenopause and menopause, as we know, is when we can define it as your periods are gone for a whole year. So at this point, you are no longer fertile. You're having no periods. So perimenopause is, yes, this 10-year period before that. And then we don't know really when it's going to start and really when it's going to end, right? So this is a period where our hormones start fluctuating. There's actually a period where everything goes up. So all our hormones go up, and then it slowly starts this decline. But any change in that hormone and our fluctuations, which we already know women who have regular cycles, we have this the week before our period, the week after our period. In just those 4 weeks, our hormones fluctuate too much, so much that now in this like 10-year period, our hormones fluctuate. When that is happening, when estrogen starts to decrease and what we say is our FSH, our follicular stimulating hormone, starts to increase, telling our body, hey, like we need more estrogen, we need more follicles. There aren't any. We're in our 40s. There's no more follicles. And so when that starts increasing, we actually know at about that time, our cholesterol starts to climb. The LDL starts to climb. So this is where I really find satisfaction telling women, you have done nothing wrong. This is just your body. Your LDL, all of a sudden, that was perfect your whole life, suddenly got higher than your husband's. Your blood pressure, that was low for most of your life, and suddenly you're coming to me because your primary care doctor says you don't need just one blood pressure medicine, but three, because we have estrogen everywhere, including all of our vasculature. So when the estrogen starts to deplete in the vessels, they become stiffer and they're just not as flexible. And so when that happens, we get higher blood pressure. Along with that, we unfortunately get metabolic syndrome, which includes that dreaded weight gain that we all talk about. And here's the unfortunate part, doing absolutely nothing different, there's a good chance in perimenopause, you're going to gain 11 pounds doing nothing different. I mean, we did nothing. And that's what, you know, most women will say, I've done nothing different. I work harder than my husband at trying to, and it just, our body has changed. Because it no longer needs the things it did anymore, right? We are no longer going to have babies. And so those things, the high blood pressure, the high cholesterol, metabolic syndrome, which includes prediabetes, we already know. These are all the risks for cardiac disease. And just the change in the blood vessels alone. I'm sure you remember, we were always taught SCAD, spontaneous coronary artery dissection, occurred in pregnancy. That was the board question. Pregnant woman comes in, chest pain, ST elevation, what is it? It's SCAD. But 80% of SCAD occurs in perimenopause. 80%.
This is so funny. I was just referred a patient a couple of weeks ago from an outside hospital, a 48-year-old woman who suddenly had chest pain. She had a left anterior descending artery, or the widowmaker artery, had a tight blockage. The interventionist attempted to do it, could not do it, and they referred the patient to me for, hey, can you try and fix it? And before the patient came to me, the patient was actually referred for bypass surgery. Okay, the surgeon goes, it's just one vessel. I don't want to bypass this. Send it back to the interventional cardiologist, comes back to me. And I'm looking at her blood cath pictures. She has only the LAD, which is blocked. Okay, all the other blood vessels look pristine. And I'm like, I'm not sure this is coronary artery disease. I think this is CAD. And we do a high resolution photon count CT, and she has a dissection with hematoma. Sent her home on medical management. I mean, at 48 years, it's not the 30-year-old, you know?
Yeah. And so, I mean, just knowing that, like, there are actually hormone related diseases that we have that men don't have. And so the treatment, although we don't use hormone replacement therapy, obviously, for primary prevention. So I'm not using it to lower your cholesterol. I still pick the statin, right? The statin is still my friend. But Women who need hormone replacement therapy for their other reasons, it actually helps with the rest of it and will help with some of the prevention. It will not make your LDL 70 like I want, but it's going to help us lower. It'll keep that HDL a little higher. But one of the main things that we know is those vasomotor symptoms that we don't like, the hot flashes, the night sweats, the more that women have, so more than 7 days of symptoms in a week, the higher, 10 times higher risk of having a cardiac event. That's it. Just having hot flashes. So the SWAN study, which was a big study done after the Women's Health Initiative, looking at perimenopausal and menopausal women, found that women who have vasomotor symptoms that are pretty heavy, which they considered more than seven nights a week of these, which most women in this age group are having, they have a higher risk for cardiac symptoms. So treating it is important.
So now let's go in perimenopause. What are the heart-related red flags that, you know, women in their 40s should be thinking about?
So one of the first and probably most common symptoms that we see and that I see women for about this age group, they're usually sent for this and not because they're in perimenopause, is palpitations. And I think most of us as cardiologists notice that, like, in the 20s, you see palpitations. And then usually, again, it's in the 40s. And then, of course, if we see it in the 80s, we already know it's atrial fibrillation, right? We know at that point. But at the 40s, we really shouldn't be having palpitations. But it sure is a sign that we could be going into perimenopause. Women in that time period tend to have more palpitations, which may be benign. But I have seen SVT, I've seen AFib in these women, because at this point, they're starting to have some hot flashes, some night sweats. They're not sleeping. There is sleep disordered breathing that goes along with just perimenopause and menopause. So all of that together. So that's one. Of course, we always say shortness of breath, chest pain. I will say that those are a bit more rare unless they're having an acute event. But we're seeing, like, palpitations seems to be the biggest symptom that I see, other than things like blood pressure starting to climb. And that's a common reason that I get, you know, a referral is PCP must be wrong. My blood pressure is not high. Something else is wrong with me. It's the most common complaint. I've never had high blood pressure. And I feel a real comfort in being able to say, listen, I know there's nothing wrong with you. It's just your body. And you might need 3 blood pressure medicines when we're done here. And that's okay. It will go away eventually. This is just, it's just you. There's nothing that we're going to do differently here. And I think it makes a woman feel a bit better that they haven't done something wrong. You know, they didn't do something to make this happen. It just is. It's our hormones. They play such a big role.
So now, you know, for palpitations and things like that, or even elevation in blood pressure, obviously the first line of therapy is, you know, try to reduce your salt, exercise better, change your diet, lifestyle stuff. But is there a role for hormone replacement therapy for the symptoms of palpitations itself?
Yeah, actually. So the way I typically do it is we do a heart monitor no matter what. If they don't already have a smartwatch, we do a monitor just to rule out that there could be something. Atrial fibrillation is actually not as uncommon as we think in a 50-year-old woman. It is more common in a menopausal woman. So a monitor, make sure that that's okay. And if that's okay, then I often will, if they're having other symptoms. So palpitations alone wouldn't give me enough to say hormone replacement. Usually then it's supportive care. But if you're also having hot flashes, irregular periods, brain fog, I mean, all of it, and you needed hormone replacement anyways, I let them trial hormone replacement for 3 months. And most often the palpitations go away.
Oh, interesting. Oh my God, who would have thunk it? Seriously. Yeah. Okay, now let's kind of go into, you kind of briefly talked about it, but let's talk about this. Like, what happened in the Women's Health Initiative? And how did they get it so wrong and so badly for so long?
So, you know, I always preface it with, we only know what we know. So they knew what they knew then. And I don't think anybody was trying to be malicious or harm women. Remember, we were never part of any studies except for that one, right? Like, we're never, they don't study us. And so they have one study on us that went for a lot of years. They were studying something completely different. So they were actually studying if hormone replacement therapy, at the time it was just hormone therapy, would prevent cardiac disease. That's actually what they were studying. The women that were chosen for the study were like 75 and up. How many 75-year-old women are menopausal? Menopause symptoms? None of them. So they weren't doing hormone replacement for menopause. They were actually looking to see if we could give estrogen for primary prevention? And could that then prevent cardiac disease and strokes, mm-hmm. which was a great study to consider. But during that time, they found that these women so late in the game were also having breast cancer and dying of breast cancer and thrombosis and CVAs and all sorts of thrombotic risk. But using that information now, and that study, unfortunately, I guess it didn't gain the popularity it should have, because that was debunked almost immediately. Within the next 2 years, the study was kind of rewritten or at least reinterpreted to say, this is not true, hold on. And a lot of our gynecology colleagues knew that that was no longer an issue. It just didn't spread. I can tell you for sure that up until very recently, like the last 5 years, I probably still told all patients, oh, you've had cardiac disease, you can't be on hormone yes. replacement. I mean, I me told too. Everybody, I mean, I have patients who come to me now and I'm like, you can have it. And they're like, you told me. I'm like, I know, I'm sorry. Because what we knew is what we knew, right? So, mm-hmm. But now what we know is that if within the 10 years of menopause, so a younger woman, menopause does not occur 65 and above, it occurs somewhere between 50 and 60. In that 10 years, if you start hormone replacement therapy, the risk is incredibly low for breast cancer, cardiac disease, strokes. I mean, all of those risk factors are very, very reduced. So that's where now the data has at least resurfaced. And that's because women are finally talking about menopause. Our mother's generation didn't talk about it. They said, oh, well, we can't, you know, we're just going to deal with the hot flashes. The women now are like, why? Why do we have to deal with the hot flashes? Yeah. Right. So we have a different generation. So people are looking at it more. So I still also, I do start hormone therapy when necessary. So, because I think at times my physician colleagues are comfortable with me starting it. I'm the cardiologist. And if I said it's okay and I actually start it, and this way I can kind of test their symptoms. And so I start it. But I, you know, the caveats are one, that you start it very quick, close to menopause. So, you know, 10 years from menopause, you know, even if you were like a surgical menopause, I'm a little bit more reluctant to start it. But if you're close and in perimenopause, I'm happy to start it at this point.
So something historic happened last week, right? The FDA removed, when I say last week, I'm talking about middle of November. The podcast might come in the future. So in the mid of November, the FDA removed the black box warnings from hormone therapy. Dr. Koshy, why is this such a big deal? The internet is going crazy with it.
So interesting. So yes, the FDA removed this black box warning. The black box warning was really the warning about breast cancer. It really was about that don't take estrogen therapy if you had a family history, high risk, or if you had breast cancer because of DVTs, strokes, DVTs, PEs, etc. They removed that warning, but we still have to take that with a grain of salt. The warning that the FDA had originally given was basically for Premarin. Which is equine estrogen, which we don't use.
Equine is horse urine estrogen.
Correct. And that was also what was in the Women's Health Initiative. That's what was used. We use estradiol now, which is, you know, the conjugate. And so therefore it is not the same as what would the FDA remove them. But they just kind of did a whole blanket statement. FDA removed it. You can take any estrogen. There is still some. There is always risk. There's no medicine that we prescribe nor that we take that has no risk.
There is no free lunch.
No. So there is still risk. But what it has encouraged is more of our colleagues. You know, I'm menopause certified, so I'm definitely comfortable with it. But people who maybe have been less comfortable because of that black box warning, we're giving more women a chance to at least be on hormone replacement therapy. We still have to realize it's still estrogen. There is some thrombotic risk. We know that there is, but the risk is minimal, you know, considering when you start it, when you stop it, why you're starting it. I definitely don't say that every single woman needs to be on estrogen when she hits menopause, because there is a risk for anything that you take.
Yeah. So any intervention. So now can you clarify, what does hormone replacement therapy do for a woman from the vasomotor, like, you know, like the symptoms of menopause to heart health to breast health?
So hormone replacement therapy is typically used in a woman who's having some symptoms. And the symptoms can be head to toe because estrogen receptors are everywhere. unlike testosterone receptors, for example. So estrogen receptors start up in our brain and are throughout our body in our vasculature, obviously with all our female organs. And so some of the symptoms that we're using hormone replacement therapy, a common symptom that you will hear is this brain fog. You know, women can't describe it much more than it's just this fogginess. The word doesn't come out of your mouth. The name is just not there. Like, you know this person and you just can't think of their name. You know, dates are mixed up. These are all unusual, and that's because there's not as much estrogen getting to the brain. The cardiac stuff, the palpitations, the vasomotor symptoms, which kind of go along with everything. So the flushing throughout the day or the night sweat. So like soaking through your clothes at night, you know, even when it's the middle of winter here in Michigan. So for those things. And then so from that, from a cardiac perspective, for the brain fog, for the sleep per se. So we want you to sleep. It's good for your heart health. We want you to sleep. So for the night sweats and the hot flashes, that's probably the first thing that I would use hormone replacement therapy for. If a woman complains of those symptoms, I think estrogen replacement is perfect for that. The brain fog, again, depending on what expectations are. For breast health, I honestly, I'm not going to speak to that that much, but that's I will okay. say that there isn't a lot of risk to take hormone replacement therapy, even in breast cancer survivors. I think a lot of my menopause colleagues are starting hormone replacement that are gynecologists, even in women who've already had breast cancer, because the risk is so low. Now, with that being said, when we're giving hormone replacement, we are most often using transdermal patches, which has less absorption and like the lowest risk of any kind of blood clots anywhere, whether it be your heart, your brain, your legs, your lungs. And so that's what I typically also say in a woman with cardiac disease is you can have a patch, and that's probably all I would offer.
So now you said these words earlier during our conversation that for primary prevention, you have your aspirin and your statin and ACE and stuff like that, but you don't have, HRT is not for that. So can you kind of clarify that a little bit more for the audience?
So I guess what we use hormone replacement therapy, it's the side effect of hormone replacement therapy is some other benefits like increasing your HDL. It doesn't lower your LDL per se, but what happens in our cholesterol, for example, when we go into perimenopause and menopause is you'll see a change in the ratio. When you were young and in your 30s, your HDL is 60 and perfect and you didn't have to do anything. And your LDL, maybe 100, let's say 120. And then you'll slowly start seeing that kind of decrease. The HDL drops down into the 50s and 40s as you get older. But once you hit perimenopause and menopause, often at that point, it reaches below 40. We know as cardiologists that once that HDL drops below 40, there's a much higher risk for cardiac disease. So your ratio depletes. And as I talk to patients, I always say HDL is sort of like Pac-Man, you know, eats the LDL. So LDL kind of creeps up a little bit. So with that being said, when you start hormone replacement therapy, that the HDL comes right back up and the LDL comes down. So you kind of even that out a little bit. Same thing with the vessels, the vasculature, we're causing some vasodilation. So the side effect of hormone therapy is that the blood pressure decreases. Now, is it just the vasculature or is it that you don't have hot flashes and you don't have night sweats and you're sleeping better and your moodiness is a bit better and therefore you don't have this stress hormone and that's why your blood pressure is better? I don't know, but it works. And I have, you know, in the last year, I would say, of prescribing or at least seeing patients who are prescribed hormone replacement therapy, I've been able to take some women off of, you know, some of their blood pressure medicines. It's not a cure. So most patients will remain on some kind of blood pressure treatment,
yes.
But maybe rather than three, they only end up on one. And most of my cardiac patients are going to be in a statin forever, but maybe we can lower the dose. So I think it's a side effect, but we do not definitely, I mean, it's not with the menopause guidelines. It's not with ACC guidelines. We still do not use hormone replacement therapy for primary prevention.
So I think I want to reiterate that statement. Hormone replacement is used for the symptoms of menopause, which could be your hot flashes, your brain fog, your palpitations, your fatigue, all of that stuff. But as a side effect of that hormone replacement, you get a reduction in your blood pressure, you get a improvement in your LDL profile, etc. And all of that makes your heart health better. So it's not because, you're high risk for heart disease, let me give you hormone replacement. That is not the case at all. So let's be very clear on why we are using hormones. Okay. Now, let's tackle the testosterone controversy. And I want to talk about men also, if that's okay with you. So let's start with women and then move on to the men. There, as a part of the package of menopause hormone replacement therapy, even testosterone is being used. What do you think about that for women?
So I think testosterone is still a little bit like in the back of my mind as, eh. And I will say that the benefit, even in menopause treatment, the benefit that women get with testosterone is not as big as the benefit they get with estrogen. It's true, we lose a little bit of all of our hormones, but the estrogen depletion is what really causes our symptoms. So I'm very careful. I don't prescribe testosterone. And those women who want to be on testosterone, who do ask me about it, what I usually tell them is, one, if you already have familial hyperlipidemia, or we're watching your lipids, testosterone is probably not our good friend. But if they want to be on a low dose, and so it's a little bit different for men, but for women, they typically don't want to be on high doses of testosterone because there's some side effects that they don't like. But as long as we're keeping their levels within range, or at least the low part of the range, and their lipid profile doesn't change, I'm okay with remaining on it. It doesn't cause a significant cardiac risk. I mean, the risk is really the lipid profile for testosterone for women. And if we were going to talk about men in the same way, my typical man has enjoyed being on their testosterone and their levels are typically super therapeutic, so higher than it should be. And when it's outside of the normal range, then I am just chasing my tail. You know, their blood pressure is high, their cholesterol is high, and we're just going around in a circle.
Yeah.
So definitely testosterone is still, I avoid it in most circumstances. And most of my female patients, they'll try it. I can't say that. And I think most of the menopause providers would say the same thing. It doesn't have as much of a benefit for women, but we're also at the point of like, let's try anything at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, with testosterone and men, because obviously most of my patients who get stents are men and they always talk about testosterone supplementation, etc. And I'm always like cautious about it. But the TRAVERSE trial clearly showed no increased cardiovascular risk with testosterone therapy. But I kind of warn them, don't go like, you know, as you said, supra therapeutic and then increase your risk of pulmonary embolism or kidney injury or atrial fibrillation or something like that. So keep it within the normal range and supplement to be in the normal range. And as you said, closely follow your lipids, make sure your lipid profile, your LDL is just perfect, less than 75, all of that, and just be safe and careful about it.
Correct.
And, you know, because for men, like testosterone, oh, I'm feeling great. Let me just give a little bit more. Maybe I'll feel greater. And, you know, and it becomes a kind of a vicious cycle. So you have to be very careful with that. So,
yes.
Okay, so now I would like to play a game, a true or false game with you, okay? You want to give more explanation? Sure, otherwise true or false is good enough, okay?
Okay.
All right. Perimenopause is a cardiovascular condition. True or false?
False.
Okay. Women should get baseline hormone panels at 35. True or false?
Oh, that's kind of an in-between. It depends.
Okay. Oh, okay. How about at the age of 45?
I would say false.
Okay. Let me rephrase the question. Women should get baseline hormone panels before starting hormone replacement therapy. True or false? Okay. HRT increases the risk of heart attacks.
False.
Okay. Most women don't need statins. They need sleep and hormones. True or false?
False. Ooh. Yeah. I wish that one was true.
Okay. All right. Now, how about, I feel sad to ask this question, but I'm going to ask this question. The field of medicine and cardiology specifically has ignored women's health for decades. True or false?
Yeah. True.
It's so sad, right? I mean, it's
so
just,
true.
It's so true. This is an interesting question, and I truly would like to know your take on that. SSRIs or anti-anxiety medication or depression medications are overprescribed in perimenopause. True or false?
False. Very good adjunct medication to treat menopausal symptoms. They absolutely treat things like PMDD, PMS, and perimenopausal symptoms. So I'm not, I think what happens, and sorry to kind of dive into this, but I think what happens is you get this brain fog, this irritability, all of those things are perimenopausal symptoms, which of course you may not realize it. You just feel anxious. I mean, that feeling of anxiety does come for most women in perimenopause. So they're treating that anxiety with an SSRI, but we know that SSRIs have benefits, you know, beyond just treating anxiety. I mean, we use it to treat like POTS type syndromes, tachycardia. I mean, we use it also. So SSRIs are still a good medicine to treat those symptoms for women who can't or won't be on hormone replacement. There are still patients who don't want to be or can't be for whatever reason. Still a good medicine to treat those symptoms. Hormone replacement may not treat all of it. And of course, it depends on your idea, I guess, and what you perceive that you would, where, what level you want to be at, right? So some women can handle this much anxiety and some women can handle this much, right? So you have to understand where you stand and what you're going to get out of the medications you take. But I think it is an excellent medicine to treat even hot flashes and night sweats if you didn't want to be on hormone replacement.
So now just, I have to ask this question. So do you start SSRIs before HRT, or you've tried HRT and you're not getting good results with HRT and therefore you're adding on SSRIs?
So kind of depending on symptoms. So if it's really all kind of brain fog and anxiety related and not a lot of the hot flash and night sweats, then maybe just an SSRI. If it was kind of all of the things, then hormone replacement therapy first, and then maybe add SSRI if necessary. But for our patients who are not perimenopausal and have PMDD or PMS symptoms that are really bad, that include, you know, depression, anxiety, the PMS, the week, the 10 days before their period, it is very common practice and common treatment to give Prozac, for example, for the 10 days before your period to treat that PMDD symptom, which is an estrogen drop. I mean, it is perimenopause. Like, you know what your perimenopause is going to feel your entire life. You know what it's going to be like. It's just not 1 week now. It's forever.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, God. All right. Fine. There are, you know, if there are women who are in their 40s and 50s who are listening to this podcast, what do you think they should do? What is the one thing you think they should take action on?
So I think women in general are in tune with what's going on and a lot of social media, right? So what I want for a woman to take out of this is know your body and know your symptoms. So I feel that I do get a lot of women that come to me, for example, and they say, well, I might be perimenopause. I want hormone replacement. And you talk to them about symptoms and they just don't have any, but they're hoping to get a little weight loss out of it. And so, but that's not the right patient because these are still medicines. So if you're willing to take hormone replacement, then I expect that you're willing to take the other medications that you need to still have benefits, including your cardiac benefits. So know what your body needs and know what your symptoms are, and then seek appropriate care for those things. And so, you know, if that is a menopause certified gynecologist, internist, cardiologist, then that's the right place. But you need to not go with, well, TikTok says everybody's perimenopausal, therefore I need hormone replacement therapy. That's not how this works. We're not all perimenopausal and not all the women are going to have symptoms. This reminds me just of like when I was pregnant with my first and my water broke and I show up to the hospital and I'm like, I need my epidural. I'm a doctor. And I'm like, I need my epidural now. And they're like, are you having contractions? I'm like, nope. And they're like, uh-huh. And I'm like, but I don't want any. So I want my epidural right now. I mean, it was ridiculous. But sometimes I kind of feel like we are a little afraid of going through perimenopause. Like, it's become such a scary thing.
Yes.
It's not scary. Women have gone through it. We want to get you through the symptoms and let you live a good quality of life, because some women are incredibly miserable and can't work or can't function. And we want to treat those women. But not everybody needs to be treated.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And how about if there are healthcare providers who are listening to this? What is your message to them?
I completely understand if you're still not ready to prescribe hormone replacement therapy, and especially if it's out of your wheelhouse. I did a whole other, you know, specialty and had to get certified as a physician to understand it. And our gynecology colleagues are doing a specializing in menopause to even understand it. So it's okay if you don't want to, and it's okay to tell your patient, I don't feel comfortable, I'm not ready, but there is a place to go. So if you go to the Menopause Society, you can just send them to that link and the patient can put in their address and you will find a menopause certified provider in their area that will take them. And that's okay. Like, gynecologists send to their menopause colleagues when they're not sure what to do. And that's okay. We all have our own niche. I mean, that's just how it is.
Absolutely. I mean, I think asking for help should not be what is preventing your patient from getting the treatment they need in any field, right? So, well, we are kind of towards the end of the episode. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners? You have given so many eye-opening things here. So any final words for our listeners?
You know, my passion is taking care of women. And I always want a woman to take care of herself first. You know, and I remind women, if you don't take care of yourself first, you are not taking care of any of the other people in your family, because that's what we are. We are the caregivers and nurturers. We take care of our parents, we take care of our kids. And the majority of us in perimenopause and menopause are in that generation. We have elderly parents and we have young children that we're still caring for. So take care of yourself first, and it's okay to take care of yourself. And please, everybody, take 10 minutes of time where no one's allowed to talk to you, and so that you have a little bit of like mental peace, because that's important for us. So,
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Koshy, thank you so much. We've learned so much from today's conversation. I think, and your final words on taking 10 minutes for themselves is, I think, the icing on this beautiful cake which we just created. So to the audience, if you have a friend, a sister, an aunt, a cousin, or any woman in menopause, perimenopause, or if you love someone who may need this episode or may need to hear about this, please do share this episode. The medical establishment came up with a very confusing statement, and an entire generation of women did not get what they needed to get. But we don't have to keep reinventing the wheel and propagating the same mistake over and over again. So please be an advocate for your own health and for the women around you as well. So for those who want to learn more about Dr. Koshy, she can be found at the Cardiovascular Consultants and at the Henry Ford Health System in Michigan. She is accepting new patients and offers telehealth appointments. Am I correct, Dr. Koshy?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, folks, this has been another episode of Reboot with Dr. Arasi Marin. Remember, your health is in your hands, but you don't have to navigate this alone. Until next time, stay informed, stay empowered, and keep rebooting your health. Goodbye.